Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. With me this week is my friend Mike. How you doing, Mike?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Baseball just started.
Yeah.
The Yankees had their second win. Did they win today? I think they won. Tanaka.
Last I checked, it was still the ninth inning.
But. Yeah, but I think they won. And the Mets got their first win, too, which I was really happy about. And Tanaka.
I'm happy for you.
Oh, thank you very much. Tanaka, it seemed like he pitched a pretty good game.
He's all right.
Well, it's his first game. He has that first game jitters, and he'll get
I
over it.
So.
But it sounded like, they won. They won. They're winning 7-3, I should say, at the time. But it's good. The middle of the ninth, so it's over.
Well, you never know.
Exactly. But they beat up on Dustin McGowan pretty well.
The
Toronto Blue Jays pitcher. Toronto, they need a lot of help, I think. They're still working on it.
The Toronto or the Yankees?
Yeah, the Toronto. Well, the Yankees, they'll always figure out something. And, they'll always have somebody. I mean, how many players do they have who are actually decent? They have a couple. Soriano, Beltran, McCann, and Teixeira. Although not Teixeira.
Teixeira might be hurt.
Teixeira might be hurt. He's out. He left the game with a hamstring, so that might not be too good for him. But we'll see how the season goes for them, I guess.
Right? Yeah, I mean, it's a long season.
It is a long season. It definitely is.
I know some people were freaking out over the first two losses, but you got to kind of put it in perspective. So,
well, I mean, they lost to the Astros.
I understand.
But, I mean, it's tough to really...
Even the Astros are going to win a couple games.
So far they've won two.
Yes.
I don't know how many more than that, but at least two. That's where you start off with. So, better than my stupid Mets. They finally won one today, but... Jeez, I mean, they should have won that opening day game. First of all, they have the best record on opening day, and then they blow the game because their closer Bobby Parnell, who came off a neck surgery in the offseason, he comes in and blows the game, and then after the game he goes, my arm hurts, and they go, you have probably a slight tear in your shoulder or your elbow.
Right. Is that something that requires surgery usually?
It all depends. Because you have a couple options. If it's a slight tear, you can either build up the muscles around it, so you're not putting as much stress on that tear.
Right. That's not a Tommy John surgery situation.
It could be.
Oh, jeez.
It could be. Although at this point, every pitcher... Now it's better to get it beforehand.
Oh, I know that.
Like, you're not a good pitcher until you get a Tommy John surgery in college.
The Mets bullpen is suspect.
Horrendous.
Horrendous. That was the one bright spot, because they had a closer that, he was legit closer. He was great last year.
Yeah, he could throw 95, and now he's throwing 93, which in baseball terms, that's a big drop-off.
If you're only getting by on your on speed, I mean... Like you said, Chad, what happens? You could throw it 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, you could throw it 100 miles an hour. It's still going to go to the ballpark 120 miles an hour off the barrel of the bat. It's still going to go pretty far, pretty fast.
It's thrown right down the middle, yeah.
Yeah, if there's no movement on it. But if you're saying your elbow's hurting, you're going to do as little amount of work to get that ball over the plate, anywhere near it. So you're just going to just hope you can throw it fast enough to get by him, but...
Valverde, was he the closer for the Tigers last year, or was he just set up
two years ago.
Oh, okay.
2 years ago, and he was very sick. He was 46 out of 46, I think. And then last year, he stunk.
Say with bullpen, it's like good year, bad year.
Right? Yeah.
So maybe it's time for a good year for him.
Yeah, I forget his nickname, but I think it's Spanish for basically like the fat. Like, I forget what it is.
The fat? Is that what you just said?
I got to look it up now.
El Gordo is fat.
Well, because I know there was a former reliever, his nickname was El Guapo, which is handsome. I forget. I got to look it up real quick. But, yeah, he's ridiculous. I really hope that it works out better for them. But Papa Grande. He's a big man.
I think that's the new thing at Taco Bell.
Yes, the Papa Grande in the morning. Yeah, he's 6'4", 265.
Wow.
He's 6'4", 265.
Big boy then.
He's a big boy. He's taller than me and he's bigger than me. So, I mean, but also he's getting paid to do well. So I would hope he's bigger than I am.
Some of that's muscle, I guess.
Sure. Let's go with that. Yeah, big poppy. Yeah, big daddy. Papa Grande. So that's the Mets. So, yeah, we're relying on a guy who the Tigers didn't sign him at the beginning of the year last year. And then because they thought they could, you know, it didn't look like he could keep up with it. So they didn't sign him, and they got so desperate that they signed him to a minor league contract, and he did not do well in the minors. And like, we have no other option. They thought maybe, hey, if we bring him up. He did well for like two appearances, mm-hmm. and then he just stunk, and they cut him. It was not good for him. So somehow, some reason, well, typical Mets. TMB, I'll call it, typical Mets behavior. They signed these guys. So that's the Mets. That's the problem with the Mets right now.
The bullpen is the big problem. Yeah.
Yes. And, of course, the other big issue this year with the Mets is Daniel Murphy's paternity leave. We were actually just watching Mike Francesa's commentary on the whole situation. And, you know, I've been saying I understand that I learned long ago that as a radio host, you come up with an opinion and you stick with that opinion. You never waver from it, and you are you push it very hard, and it's to an extreme to get people to listen and to get that 1% to call in so you have an active topic. So for Francesa, his was, I don't understand why you got to take paternity leave as a parent or as a baseball player. And then it became, I don't understand why you take paternity leave at all.
Right.
You see the baby for one day, and then you go back to work. As he says, he saw his son born at 9 a.m., and then at 1 p.m., he was at work. So, you know, it's, I mean, look, there's different opinions on this, but it, you know, when it's coming from a guy like Francesa, who is, he's a blowhard.
Right.
You know, he's very entertaining, and that's part of what makes him so entertaining is his outrageous, because he's the type of guy who never considers himself wrong.
He seems to have more of a handle on the problems of the common man. Or the common human,
sure.
Sometimes
the plebeians.
He'll sympathize with people when they call about, you know, PSL issues with ticket licenses, sure. and stuff like that, and like how and the seats right behind home plate at the new Yankee Stadium, how no one could afford them, and he thinks that it was a big mistake.
No,
and when people call and say that, you know, they don't. You know, they can't afford these tickets. He seems to understand, and he doesn't berate them for not having enough money.
No, of course.
But like
not.
In this issue, he's so far removed from, like, you know, the realities of what people go through when they have children, that he comes across as very, like, old-fashioned and just completely out of his time, out of his element, and, like, it's just stupid.
Absolutely. He's wondering why there's only one water fountain now.
Right.
You know, just ridiculous stuff like that. That you're like, what are you talking about, old man?
He just kept it on baseball. Like, I understand his point about baseball players. Like, they're, you know, they're paid a huge amount of money, millions of dollars, to play baseball, and they should be there for their team. I understand taking a couple of days off.
Right.
Yeah, fine. They shouldn't. But then when he starts railing against paternity leave for, like, the average Joe.
Asking why. Well, I don't understand why. Why would you need paternity leave when... You know, I mean, the
makes me wonder about his relationship with his kids.
he doesn't talk much about Roe, but you know, hey, him and Roe and all that stuff. So, it's ridiculous. And hey, you know what? In the end, it's good press for him.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Because there's no such thing as bad press.
Oh yeah.
I mean, when it's a national story, it's a national story. Because it's not only him; it's also Boomer and Carton.
Right.
Boomer Esiason and their morning show, and they're both on. Nationwide, what networks? Mm-hmm. Frances is on the Fox Sports 1 now, as opposed to Yes, and then Boomer Carton are on the CBS.
Well, technically, isn't Yes sort of it's nationwide if you can get it.
Well, yeah, but then he was gone.
Oh, right.
And now this is a much more, this is a bigger, because Yes is a regional network.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was available nationwide, but Fox Sports caters to everywhere.
Okay.
Whereas Yes just caters to Yankee fans. It caters to Net fans.
Right.
You know, stuff like that. And then the occasional other stuff, which would be Francesa or their show Center Stage, which is inside the Actors Studio for celebrities. Like, not actors, just celebrities.
Sometimes they do have
A couple times they have actors, but it's done by Michael Kay, who runs...
it always seems like there's only, like, seven people watching the show.
It's such a small thing. Like, I'm waiting for some... Hi, I'm hoping to be a future baseball player, and... you know, my name's, Albert Pujols, and one day I hope to become a baseball, you know, not like inside the Actors Studio. So.
Right.
But yeah, so now that he's on Fox Sports 1, and it was only recent, he only started at the beginning of the month, really. So, he's going to get ratings from it no matter what.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
you know, in that case, good for him.
Yeah, he came on today, and he was it was so funny because he doesn't he'll insult anybody in it, and like he does not care,
he
even his
care.
Employer or people that are you know, simulcasting his show, because he came on today, and there's like, yeah, we're back on Fox Sports One after, you know, missing a few days because of their soccer commitment. Sorry, they bored you to death, folks. With their soccer, don't worry, I'm back.
Oh my, yeah, he's ridiculous, and he's a guy who anytime anybody calls about hockey, he's like, I don't talk about hockey, and he just hangs up on it. Like a caller called up, he had a really good point about like I think like the Yankees, and he's like, hey Mike, can I ask you a question about the Rangers? And he goes, no, and he hangs up on him. Like I don't talk hockey. That's not me.
He does. To be fair, since he doesn't know much about hockey, he gets like a hockey writer to come on once in a while when the playoffs are on to talk about, because he knows some people want to.
He throws him the bone, you know. That's what he does. So
right, but
he's ridiculous. But it's entertaining.
It is entertaining
because you kind of want that as opposed to some, you know, just as opposed to.
I think it is definitely more entertaining, and
it's more entertaining,
and to have somebody be a little bit offensive once in a while, like,
sure.
I don't want to say it's refreshing. It is kind of refreshing in a way, because it's a lot of shows are so sanitized.
Yes.
So like, I hate to use the term politically correct, but
it's a politically correct world, or you know, at least the nation we're in.
It's kind of fun to see somebody who just, even if he is incorrect, or even if he has an unpopular opinion,
yes,
he stands by it, and he just like he basically.
Yeah, how many?
He says his piece, and if anybody disagrees with him, he'll just hang up on him. He doesn't want to hear it.
He just lets it slide off his back. Like he'll make a little mention of it, like the stuff, you know. It so he can do it,
right.
You know, and he's entertaining in that respect. So yeah, that's ridiculous, and that's going on right now.
Yeah, what's going on?
Moving on to football for a second.
Football.
Have you heard about the Deshaun Jackson situation?
Oh, alleged gang issues and all this. Well, now he's with the Redskins, right?
He signed with the Redskins. Mm-hmm. He was cut by the Eagles because of it. Alleged gang ties.
Right.
Which, not for nothing, there are many, many players in the NFL who could be considered having alleged gang ties. Well, because it could be as simple as growing up in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah.
Or any of the outlying towns of the L.A., you know, area.
Well, there's gangs everywhere. I mean, it could be anywhere.
Sure, in any city.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and so, you know, when these guys come from South Florida,
mm-hmm.
or if they come from Southern California, like all of these large places, you know, urban settings, that this could happen, so... But apparently the Raiders and the 49ers actually came out, like members of the 49ers and the Raiders, and said definitely he has gang ties. But it's still pretty vague. They didn't mm-hmm. say, yes, he belongs to this gang, and this is the name of the gang, and here are his associates. It's
I think, for sure.
These players on the 49ers and the Raiders said, oh, yeah, he has alleged gang ties. Like, which I don't know how you're going to really, like, read into that. You know?
Yeah, and then what constitutes a tie? I mean, like, what is the has he participated in any gang activities? Has he killed somebody? Has he done? I mean, I don't know.
Look, Santonio Holmes, who was the MVP of Super Bowl 43, I'm mm-hmm. gonna say 44, 43, I forget which. He won MVP of the Super Bowl that year.
Yeah.
And it came out, and the whole thing was he started off as he admitted to selling drugs in his youth, to then going on and becoming the Super Bowl MVP, and that was just kind of lost. Like that, it's not being brought up now. It doesn't necessarily tie into this, but at the same time, here's a guy who admitted, yeah, in the past I did some, you know, gang related, you know, I sold drugs.
Okay.
You know, and then we kind of forget about that.
Right.
And then, you know, here's Deshaun Jackson, and people are like, what the gang ties? What? I don't.
Well, I think a lot of teams are worried about having another like Aaron Hernandez on their hands.
You know, that's an excellent point. You know, I haven't really thought about that, especially because absolutely.
Like, I think teams are looking. They're trying to do their due diligence a little bit more and look into the backgrounds of these people. And
I
don't know. Because I mean that was I mean, obviously the Patriots cut him, but it didn't look good for them. Like,
no, definitely, especially
because there was red flags that were raised from his college years.
Yeah, but even his high school years. And actually, it's funny because I think they mentioned like Robert Kraft. He went on to like CNBC or MSNBC like a couple days before and was talking about how much of a model employee Aaron Hernandez was, wow, and how he fits the Patriot way.
Right.
You know, being honest and loyal and, you know, doing the right thing. And then all of a sudden, a couple gunshots later and, you know, driving around at 3 in the morning. Doesn't really look good. But, yeah, I didn't even consider that. And actually, what was it? Recently, because the NFL draft's coming up, and one of the big options could be Johnny Manziel.
And what is the controversy with him? I don't know much about him.
Well, first of all, he's the first freshman ever to win the Heisman Trophy.
Okay.
And he's from Texas, and he's at Texas A&M.
This is Johnny Football.
Johnny Football.
The guy who wanted to trademark that?
Yep, Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football. So because you're in college football, you're supposed to have an amateur status. You know, it's frowned upon to take money except gifts.
And, oh, but they all do, of course.
Well, they all do. And when they're caught, quote-unquote caught, you know, they get a what's considered, you know, college football mandates. Like, oh, we'll take care of this. Don't you worry. We're going to, you know, vacate their titles and take away their awards and all this stuff. So there are, you know, teams, you know, college football teams that have won championships that on the record book it says vacated or it's just skipped over. Like USC, I think 2006, they won the BCS National Championship, but because Reggie Bush accepted gifts during that time, they vacated the title. So on the record books, it just says no winner.
Oh, okay.
They don't give it to the loser of that game. They just say the winner didn't do it.
Did that happen in Penn State because of the whole
thing? Yes, Penn State, that happened with the whole Sandusky thing and all that stuff. And actually, there's a college football game in the record books, like in the history books, that were, was it Penn State and USC? I think it actually was those two. And they played each other. And since all those wins were vacated during that time period, when they played each other, looking back at it, there's no winner. There was a game that was played that has no winner. Not a tie, because they both had to vacate that game, winner or loser. And so there's just a game, an empty game that's floating around in space that has no winner. So Johnny Manziel, after he won the Heisman Trophy, he's found out he's going to, like, he's sitting courtside at Dallas Maverick games. And then they're like, where'd you get the tickets from? He's like, my dad gave them to me. And then he's out in Las Vegas and he's gambling. He's putting on Instagram and Twitter, like, all the money he's winning. Like, where'd you get all that money from? He's like, I want it. And, you know, all this stuff. And, you know, just a lot of stuff that rubs people the wrong way, especially if you're the first freshman Heisman Trophy winner, and the Heisman Trophy winner is supposed to be, you know, the model. He's your flag bearer for college football for at least 1 year, and then all of a sudden you're going, you know, here's a kid, and he's screwing around with it. So, but I think Deion Sanders came out and he said that Johnny Manziel exhibits ghetto tendencies.
Oh,
so read into that what you want, but that could be Deion. Deion being Deion, that could be, you know, you know, just trying to make one of those quote.
Is he points. As good as somebody as like Andrew Luck?
Not to that extent.
Okay.
Andrew Luck is the prototypical pro quarterback. He's Peyton Manning-esque.
You know,
a pocket passer, doesn't scramble, throw for a lot of yardage. Johnny Manziel, he's a scrambler.
Oh, he's a scrambler. Okay.
He's a scrambler. He's a small guy too, although he keeps saying that, like, no, I'm 5'11". I don't know why you guys are putting me at 5'9". I'm 5'11". Like,
Does he realize that, like, there's official, like, measurements, right? Like, you go get physicals, right? Like,
right, but he doesn't want people to get – he doesn't want scouts to go, well, he's 5'9", so what are we going to do, draft a 5'9 quarterback? Which there have been a couple successful 5'9 quarterbacks, Drew Brees and now Russell Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
You know, two Super Bowl champions right there. Doug Flutie, he's on the short side too, and he's, you know, remembered throughout history, so – you know, you can be a short quarterback. It's just what they're looking for. They have a body type, and if you don't fit it, then you're not a quarterback. So
who's looking? He's going to go in the first round, right?
Oh, it seems like it, but you never know. because a couple teams have said, we're going to pass on him. We don't like what we see. The Vikings have said
they're
not.
They could be bluffing.
They could be. We'll find out. I mean, when you're watching, if you're going to watch the draft, you're going to watch those big names, the ones that show up.
Yeah, it'd be kind of funny if he didn't go in the first round.
Sure. Well, that happened with Geno Smith. He showed up in the first round, you know, and he sat there, and he didn't get drafted, and you visually saw him when they went to shots to him of him just looking really angry and depressed and, like, sad. And then early in the next day, when barely anybody was watching, he got drafted. So at least he stayed. He stuck around. He actually had to buy new clothes. Wow. For that second day, because he went expecting to go in the first round and they could go back home. But he's like, I only brought my suit. Like, I wore my suit to this from, West Virginia, wherever he's from. And he's like, I got to get more clothes. And so he went out that night and he shopped for more clothes. Jeez. So, yeah, it's funny.
Whew.
Yeah, it happens. So
when is the draft again?
The draft is late April.
Okay.
So it's coming up soon. It's coming up soon. You're going to hear a lot more about it really coming up soon. And I know, like, Clowney, looks like he's going to be the number one pick. And you're going to also see
a defensive guy.
He's a defensive lineman, okay. Yeah. He's supposed to be the best one, but he took this season off. He literally took it off. He's like, you know, I
didn't want to get hurt.
And I can't blame him because, you know, you're in college. You don't get paid.
Right.
Which, by the way, now Yeah, Northwestern, the players at Northwestern, they unionized. And a lower court judge, a circuit court judge, said, yeah, you guys have the right to do that. So now you're going to probably see this go in front of Supreme Court.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to go up. They're going to get, you know, back and forth overturns and rejudgments and all that stuff. So
that should be fun.
So, but you can't blame – yeah, and you can't blame a guy. You know, I've basically guaranteed millions on the other side of my college career. Why am I going to waste it on, you know, a November 12th game against Georgia Tech? The Texans, the Houston Texans.
Really? They were that bad last year?
Oh, they were bad. Oh, man, they were bad.
They're going to pick Clowney?
It seems like it. Yeah. It seems like they want to. They need a quarterback, though. They got rid of their quarterback. And this is a sort of a win-now team. They've got Andre Johnson, who's a great wide receiver.
Maybe Johnny
Football. The way they're sounding, they're not liking him.
Okay.
Although it makes total sense. He goes to Texas A&M, which is in Texas, football is king.
Oh yeah,
and it goes like Texas, the University of Texas, Texas A&M, and then Texas Tech, you know, and then Baylor and Rice and you know wherever else you want to be. So Texas A&M is big up there.
Okay.
You know, it's big down there, I should say. And he's big time. So for him to go to Houston would be great because he's not going to do well if he goes to, say, someplace like St. Louis or, you know, somewhere else that needs a quarterback that's way away from Texas. And then he's going to be a small fish in a big pond.
Right.
Whereas when he's in Texas, he's kingfish, you know. He's big fish, little pond.
True.
So we'll see how that works out for him, but I don't know. So, all right. Well, thank you very much, Quilty, for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Enjoy. You can like us on Facebook at Everyman Sports. You can find us on iTunes. Just search Everyman Sports in the iTunes store. You can visit our website, everymansports.podbean.com. Or you can email me with any questions, comments, concerns, at everymansports@gmail.com. That's one word, everymansports@gmail.com. Oh, wait, I almost forgot. NCAA tournament. Who do you like?
I don't follow the
No?
Like
I'll give you the teams. You pick one. Kentucky, Wisconsin, Florida, UConn.
UConn?
There you go, local.
Yeah, that's
I like that. I'll go with UConn, too. Okay. I like that as well. All right, thank you very much. Take care.